You know it's pretty bad when people accuse God of having a demon. But that's what happens in John chapter 8, when Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, they will have life. The Jews think he has a demon. This false accusation turns into attempted murder when Jesus goes even further and says that he is the great I am. I am. This is the common designation of God in the Old Testament, and the Jews get it. They understand precisely what Jesus is saying, and so they pick up stones to kill the one whom they believe is demon-possessed and blaspheming. They rage against God by rejecting Jesus. He came to save his people. And here he finds antagonism and hatred towards his benevolence and mercy. What else is extraordinary is all this takes place in the temple. That means the sacred place in Jewish eyes has now become the place where they try to kill a man without a trial. This is ironic, because later on in John's Gospel, we find the Jews delivering Jesus to Pilate, wanting the Roman official to do the dirty work of crucifying Jesus. And they even say these words, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." It's John 18:31. That law didn't matter much when they were in the temple with Jesus, and they heard Jesus confess his divinity before his people. Jesus is God, and his word gives life. 2 points inciting the Jews to anger that is nothing less than demonic. The confession of Jesus to be true God, who speaks a word that actually makes people alive, doesn't stop in John chapter 8. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. And on this day we celebrate and we confess our God as he has been revealed to us in Scripture, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when I say the word confess, you might rightfully think about the ancient creeds that we confess, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and today we heard the Athanasian Creed, a creed that does a very good job teaching us about the God we worship, the God revealed to us in Holy Scripture. In the Matin service, we also sing a song, a canticle, that confesses our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the song known as the Te Deum Laudamus. That's only Latin for "We praise you, O God." It is the song that comes next after the sermon. With the Athanasian Creed, that song that we sing also confesses our God. In it, there are two lines that speak of the Trinity, and they read like this, from the Te Deum, quote, "The Holy Church throughout the whole world doth acknowledge thee, the Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable true and only Son, also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ, thou art the everlasting Son of the Father." The church continues her song, confessing Jesus to be true God, yet true man, the everlasting Son of the Father, who has delivered man by taking on the form of a servant and overcoming the sharpness of death at his cross. At the cross, our God hangs in the person of Jesus. He does taste death. He really, truly dies, but rises on the third day, as foretold by God in his word. This is all important to remember. The particular study of the person of Jesus in theology, looking at his two natures, his human and divine nature, that is called Christology. Christology. Understanding and remembering Christology in the church is arguably necessary for the church's existence. For how can the church exist if she doesn't know who her God is and what he has done. We confessed the Athanasian Creed. It's a long creed, isn't it? And we only do it once a year. And as we were going through that creed, maybe some of you thought to yourself, there's a little bit of theological hair splitting going on. Maybe we're getting too precise, or is this even necessary? Again, it is very important that we remember and we understand who our God is as he has revealed himself to us in Holy Scripture. If you ever study a little church history, it won't take you very long to discover the intense battles over the person of Jesus that eventually led to the formation of a creed all of you know very well, the Nicene Creed in the early 4th century. Against those who were deceitfully saying that Jesus is nothing but a man with some special power, God raised theologians like Athanasius. The Athanasian Creed is named after Athanasius because he and others argued from Scripture that Jesus is not just a mere man, but he is the great I Am. He is the great I Am. In him, the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. He is true God, true man, divine and human in one person. Begotten of the Father from eternity, and he is born of a virgin, only to die, yet he lives. The creeds teach us these things. Holy Scripture teaches us these things. And we confess them in the face of those who would say, any old God will do. Jesus confessed his word, and the people picked up stones. The Christian church faces an enemy that really is no different. It is a Christian thing to do, to confess. And we confess who our God is and what he has accomplished. Again, this is important because our society has a vast array of definitions of God. I know at least some of you have heard the expression, we all worship the same God. Or, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Luther would say, a God is whoever you set your heart on. That's your God. But letting your heart determine your God isn't the same as hearing God define himself in Holy Scripture. When we say we believe in God, we are not saying we believe in some mystical higher power of whom we know nothing about. Rather, our God is not a God of confusion, and our God has not left us in the dark about his existence and his work. Our God is specific and clear of who he is and what he does, and this is of immense comfort to us. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons of the same divine essence, all eternal and infinite. In the face of false gods and those believing in those gods, the church speaks. We make our confession in the Holy Blessed Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God who has put his name upon us in holy baptism. He has redeemed us of sin, and he calls us his own. This confession is firm, biblical, precise, but it does make an uncomfortable line between what the church believes and what the world believes. Christian friends, the baptized believer cannot serve two gods. And the Christian is commanded to hold on to all of God's word. However, a clear confession of faith, sound doctrine that calls out and rebukes error and falsehood, this stuff does not sit well with the world. And temporal life would be much easier if we were a little more indifferent to God and his word. But God bids us to look at him and listen to everything he says. You may not be tied to the stake and burned for your confession and faith, though this has happened many times to other Christians, and it happens still. But figuratively speaking, you may get a stone thrown at you when you're accused of being a bigot, old-fashioned and behind the times. You may miss out on a promotion or even lose your job because you and the HR department have a disagreement over something that you can't give up because it is part of your faith. It's part of your confession. Friends, cling to the Word of God, even if it means the stones pour down upon you by those who see you as the demon who needs to be expelled. To the world, it's you who needs the exorcism because you torment others with the Word of God when you confess your God and you testify to His Word that calls people to repentance. Yet I suspect that some people pick up stones because Orthodox Christianity has a healthy, deep understanding of sin, and it is never pleasant to be reminded and told of your sin. It downright hurts when you realize you've messed up, and when someone points it out to you, whether it's a pastor, relative, or friend. God's good and mighty law shows us what sinners we are. But if that is all you hear from Holy Scripture, the do's and the don'ts, while the gospel is not preached in its purity and sweetness, then it is little wonder why people flee the church and become even antagonistic towards her. Friends in Christ, the way to deal with sin isn't to create a God who's okay with it. Escaping God's law by denying its power isn't the way to deal with its accusation. Instead, the true mercy that you seek in light of your sin and the true heavenly peace is in the great I Am. Jesus has done what only God can do, and that is He bears the sins of the whole world, and He sheds His blood to pay for that sin. And His blood is holy, precious blood, and His death is innocent. It is good that we are reminded that Jesus is true God, because only God can fully take care of the problem of sin, and Christ has done it. He assumes human flesh, just like yours and mine. This is why we confess that Jesus is indeed true man. But He also carries the sins of creation, and He bears them unto death, and He rises from the dead. This only God can do. Christ is the great I Am, and He suffers, and He dies for you. He loves you in His death and has shed His blood to pay the price for every single one of your sins. And yes, He calls you His very own child. There is the answer for sin. It is Christ, the merciful I Am, who has overcome the sharpness of death for you. And His crucifixion is always connected to His resurrection. He dies but lives. Friends, we die in Christ only to live with Him in eternal glory. Whatever sin is troubling you, whatever temptation is besieging you, your Savior, your Lord, and your God has taken care of it. Even as you battle it now, your sins have been paid. It is a done deal. Christ Jesus has done it. And when you hear His word, His living and abiding word, you are hearing Him speak absolution for your sin that He has taken care of at the cross. Whenever you hear the gospel, you are hearing God speak His righteousness upon you, declaring you loved and forgiven because of His Son who absorbed all of your sin into His body, and He sacrificed Himself lovingly, willingly to pay for all of it. We confess this. And by the grace of our living God and Savior, people will hear this confession and be brought to faith through the Word of God, trusting in Him who is merciful, loving, and rich in grace. Now is not the time to start hiding who we are and what we believe. Now, as in every generation, is the time to boldly speak and hold fast to the Word of God, a Word that does impart life to sinners. This is a word people desperately need to hear, and by God's power and Spirit, they will hear it and they will believe it. The great I Am has saved you, O Christian. The stones may come and they may even hurt for a little while. Yet fear not. Your Savior is with you. Your God has made you clean. He has made you alive. And not even death will succeed. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. From now unto life everlasting. Amen.